side of the bed, I knelt next to her. I lifted her up in my arms, just like the night it happened. And I told her I loved her, and she died.
Did you love her still at that moment?
I love her right now.
It was Michael Schiavo, former husband of Terry Schindler Schiavo, talking with Matt Lauer on NBC about his feelings for Terry Schindler Schiavo and her last moments. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Tonight, we talk about the legacy of Terry Schindler Schiavo. More than a year after her death, this was a top news story. This was the talk of water cooler conversation. This was, in many ways, a national and, in some ways, an international debate, the life and the death of Terry Schindler Schiavo. Joining us tonight, well, Bobby Schindler, the brother of Terry Schindler Schiavo. You can join us as well. We're a live call-in program. We're coming to you live this Sunday night, June the 4th. Our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727. 1-800-730-2727. And we have an in-studio email address. It is issuesetc@kfuo.org. issuesetc@kfuo.org. Now, the listeners with the best questions and comments tonight will receive the new book, A Life That Matters, The Legacy of Terry Schiavo, A Lesson for Us All. 1-800-730-2727. And our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Bobby Schindler is brother of Terry Schindler Schiavo. He's co-author of this new book, A Life That Matters, The Legacy of Terry Schiavo. Bobby, welcome to Issues Etc.
Well, thank you very much for having me this evening.
Well, you heard Michael in the open of tonight's show. Did Michael Schiavo, in your opinion, love your sister?
Well, I don't know that we could ever, I don't know what was in Michael's heart, but from the way Michael acted towards my sister, I have a different really perspective or definition on what it is to love somebody.
And how would you summarize the legacy of your sister's life and her death?
Well, I think Terry showed just an incredible will to live in her battle since the initial collapse in 1990. She had been through a tremendous ordeal in those 15 years, and yet she had this incredible will to live. But I think Terry's legacy is that of waking our country up to what's happening to those that are disabled and those that have severe brain injuries, and how as a society we are treating these people. And hopefully with the efforts of the people that now are aware of what's happening and our foundation that we have formed, we can try and stop this from happening in the future.
Tell us about Terry's last moments, if you would, Bobby.
Well, Suzanne and I and Father Pavone, some of you might know Father Pavone, was with us in Terry's room, and we knew that Terry was close to her death, and we had actually suggested that my mother and father not be there because of the way Terry looked. It was horrible. Nevertheless, we wanted to be with Terry and felt as though that Terry would want her family members with her. Just moments before Terry was going to pass away, we were asked to leave the room momentarily. They were going to do some type of assessment, and they said they would let us back into the room. Once we left the room, the policeman outside in Terry's room told us that we had to leave the hospice facility by orders of Michael Schiavo. And basically that's what happened. We were not allowed in the room when Terry did pass away.
What is your fondest memory growing up with Terry?
Well, gosh, there's so many. I mean, we were just a very, very close family. We grew up outside in the suburb of Philadelphia, and just a tremendously close family. We spent all the holidays and birthdays with other families that were very close in proximity to where we lived. And I just remember Terry just being, she had such a passion for animals growing up. You know, even up until the night she collapsed, she had often talked about wanting to be a veterinarian and working at a zoo. So she had just a tremendous compassion for animals. And that was also evident in the way she treated others and the way she was to her family. She was very protective of her family. And she was very, very close to her family, and particularly to my grandparents. She you know, was fond of my grandparents, and it was a real special person to be around.
Bobby, I'd like you to react to something that Michael Schiavo had to say recently after he wrote a book explaining what he says is the truth about the life and the death of your sister, Terry. This is a claim he's made quite often. He made it all throughout the debate that surrounded Terry's last days. It has to do with what he says her last wishes were.
She said her uncle was very disabled, and he lived with the mother. And Terry said to me, if I ever become a burden to anybody, don't ever let me live like that. And I said, okay. And you do the same for me.
To your knowledge, were those Terry's last wishes?
Well, we never believed that Terry ever made such wishes. And if you look at the timeline and the facts surrounding Terry's wishes, I think most people would come to the conclusion that it was just completely absurd that Terry ever made such wishes as Michael's alleged. They came 7 years or 8 years after Terry's initial collapse. They came after Michael was living with another woman for the better part of 3 years. They came after Michael announced that he was going to marry this woman, so his loyalties were clearly shifted towards the woman he was living with and intended to marry. There was a significant amount of money he was going to inherit at the time, which was close to $1 million. So, there's so much more about these alleged wishes. Evidently, they were in Terry in her early 20s when she supposedly made these wishes. So our family, from the beginning, never believed Terry made such wishes, never said anything to us about not wanting to live if she ever became disabled. So we just don't believe that was the case. And I believe that this was never about Terry's wishes, as I said, but really about a strong euthanasia movement that's really taking grip of our country.
What do you mean by that?
Well, we are now deciding whether people with disabilities or severe brain injuries should die based on a quality of life. And we are making decisions when it's okay and not okay to kill people based on disability. And we're seeing evidence of this across the country. Before Terry's case ever made national headlines, the disability community, certain people are screaming about what's going on with the disabled, and it's getting worse. And just with the involvement of our foundation these past several weeks, we're starting to see just what's happening in our country.
Here's a little more from Michael Schiavo's interview with Matt Lauer of NBC. Bobby, Matt asked Michael, why not just turn Terry over to her parents?
When you sit in a courtroom and you hear the father say, I'll cut her arms and legs off just to keep her alive, why would I want to put their daughter back in their care if he's going to do that to her?
Let's make sure we understand that statement. I think the statement he basically said if she were to develop gangrene,
right,
and had to have limbs amputated, he would do that and okay that as long as he could still have her
right
alive.
Right.
That's a little different than
and
the way.
And they also stated also that even if this was Terry's wish, it wouldn't have been theirs. They would have kept her alive. Even if they knew that, they would have kept her alive.
Bobby, 1 minute before our first break here, your reaction to the claims made there by Michael Schiavo.
Well, as Mr. Lauer tried to point out, Michael was taking it completely out of context, which he often does with so many aspects of this situation. And it just wasn't true what in the context that Michael was describing in that interview. But the fact of the matter is, it really doesn't matter the type of family we are. It had nothing to do with what Michael did to Terry. I think Michael is just trying to distract people from what happened here, and that's, he killed my sister because she was disabled, because she was severely brain injured, and she became an inconvenience for him, and there was a significant amount of money that I believe that he was trying to get his hands on, and other circumstances, too, that might have played a role in why he did what he did. But as I said, it really didn't matter the type of family we were. We just wanted to care for Terry and take care of her. And Michael was doing things in his power to make sure that she was killed in this horrific manner.
Folks, you're listening to Issues Etc. We are coming to you live this Sunday night. It's June the 4th. Your chance to talk to the brother of Terry Schindler Schiavo Bobby Schindler, our guest tonight. Our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address is issuesetc@kfuo.org, issuesetc@kfuo.org. The best callers and emailers will get a copy of A Life That Matters, The Legacy of Terry Schiavo, A Lesson for Us All. Bobby Schindler, the brother of Terry Schindler Schiavo, is a co-author of that book and our guest tonight on Issues, Etc. 1-800-730-2727 or issuesetc@kfuo.org.
Larry Rast, Arthur Just, Carl Fakencher, Kurt Marquardt, Peter Scare, Cameron McKenzie.
You probably recognize these names as regular guests on Issues, Etc. But what else do they have in common? Well, they're all members of the Christ-centered, cross-focused faculty of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Dean Wenthe, Walter A. Meyer II, David Scare, Dan Gard, Charles Geeshan, Bill Weinrich.
Have you ever considered the pastoral ministry? Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. For more information, go to our website, issuesetc.org, or call them 1-800-481-2155. Preparing Christ-centered, cross-focused pastors for the 21st century. Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
John Pless, Hal Senkbeil, Richard Muller, Roland Ziegler.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
If you're a talk radio junkie like me, you might assume that the programming is free. Commercial advertisers pay for the production costs and staff salaries. Well, that's true for most talk radio shows, but not for Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is listener-supported. That means we rely on you to pay the production salaries and airtime costs for this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin asking you to prayerfully consider making a financial gift to Issues, Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org. Click on the What's New section. You can donate by credit card, 1-800-737-0172. Or you can donate by check, Issues, Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Remember, unlike other talk radio shows, Issues, Etc. needs your financial support. We depend upon you for the continuation and expansion of Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is underwritten in part by LCMS World Relief, an international relief agency concerned with both body and soul. To find out more about their efforts in the Sudan, in the Gulf Coast with the victims of the hurricanes, or the recent earthquakes in Indonesia, check out our website, issuesetc.org, or call them toll-free, 1-888-930-4438, 1-888-930-4438, Christ-centered, cross-focused, LCMS World Relief. We're talking about the legacy of Terry Schindler Schiavo tonight with Terry's brother, Bobby Schindler. Bobby, what do you think was the most misunderstood issue, item, piece of information in this whole battle over the life of your sister?
Well, there really was so much, and that's the prime, one of the reasons we wrote the book is because there was so much misreported about the situation. I have to say, the results of the autopsy report were very troubling, disturbing in the way the media really spun the results of the autopsy report. So much of what they said just wasn't factually correct, and I urge people when I do speak about the autopsy to read what the IME, the Independent Medical Examiner, wrote, because it's quite different from how the media portrayed it the day after the autopsy was released.
What was reported, to the best of your knowledge, about Terry's autopsy, and then what did the report say that differed from that substantially?
Well, for some strange reason, the press got from that Terry was brain dead and that she was in a persistent vegetative state, neither being true. First of all, there was never any doctor, not even Michael's doctors, that ever diagnosed Terry as being brain dead. In fact, I just read an article today that referred to Terry as brain dead. They also said that Terry was in a persistent vegetative state. That is untrue. If you read the autopsy report, the IME goes to great lengths to say that he could not conclude from the autopsy whether Terry was in a persistent vegetative state or not, because you cannot do that post-mortem. They even went as far to say, Dr. Stephen Nelson, who was consulting a neuropathologist on the autopsy, said that he could not even rule out that Terry might have been in a minimally conscious state. Terry's temporal lobes and her frontal lobes were completely intact, which controls the higher thinking. That was not reported, which we believe, and doctors believe, that part of her brain could have been rehabilitated if given the chance. So there's just so much that was really not reported and misreported by the media, and it was very upsetting. But aside from all that, aside from the results of the autopsy, it really didn't matter the level of disability or level of brain injury that my sister had. Our family knew that, but we loved Terry the way she was, and we would have cared for her in that way. So the results of the autopsy were really, regardless of the outcome, we still want to care for Terry. But the media used it to justify and rationalize what they did to my sister, and that basically what Michael did, it was justification for Michael and the courts did to my sister.
That was one of the things I found frustrating, Bobby, was after the autopsy, even before, when people were saying, well, Terry has no chance of making any substantial recovery from whatever the brain injury was. And it was pointed, we've talked about Terry a lot on the program, and many of the guests have pointed out that is irrelevant. Whether she had the chance to recover or a chance to get better really is not the issue. The question is whether or not she had the right to live, whatever her prognosis was.
And that's exactly right, and it goes back to what I was saying before. There are thousands of persons out there that are suffering from disabilities and brain injuries that are worse than my sister, that they're being cared for by family members. And it seems to me that the media and other people that are supporting my sister's death in this way, it seems to me that we're saying it's okay with people with those types of brain injuries and suffering those types of disabilities, that in those circumstances, it's okay to terminate their lives. And that's what's so frightening. And that's why I believe, as much as people are tired of hearing about this case, it's something that's going to affect, I believe, all of us at some point in our lives. And it's going to affect a lot of people that are suffering from traumatic brain injuries and are suffering from disabilities today.
Bobby, here again is Michael Schiavo talking about when he thinks his relationship changed with your family.
You say Robert Schindler walked up to you on that Valentine's Day and says to you, when am I going to get my
first
money?
He asked when the money was coming down, and then he asked me, how much am I going to get? I said to him, I'm giving it all to Terry. And then with some anger in his voice, he pointed at Terry and said, well, how much is she going to give me? She's not going to give you anything. That money is in trust with a guardian.
For her care.
So he says, and he starts getting angry and says he's going to take over the guardianship, he's going to get a lawyer. I'm like, well, if that's what you need to do, go do it. Mrs. Schindler jumps in front. You know, he's right, this is our daughter. We deserve money.
Talk about two sides to every story. You know that the Schindlers basically allege the same thing with you. They allege that it was only after the malpractice suit was settled and the money was placed in trust for Terry that you began the process of trying to get the feeding tube pulled from Terry, because then you stood to inherit that money.
Matt, we offered him three times in writing, in the media, that we would give every cent of that money to charity in Terry's name. The Schindlers were the ones that refused that. They didn't want it to happen.
What's the true story here, Bobby? This is probably one of the biggest bones of contention and the difference in fact or claims of fact that we find in the whole sordid case of Terry's last days.
Well, exactly. Well, first I just want to say that again, Michael is very good at talking or stating half truths. It is true that he did offer to donate the money to charity, but what he doesn't explain is there was a stipulation. He said that he would donate the entire trust fund to charity if my family would acquiesce to removing Terry's feeding tube. And, of course, we said, no, that's ridiculous. That's what we're fighting for. We want to care for Terry. So he didn't tell the whole story there about his conditions to donate the money to charity. But he's exactly right. There was a severing relationship over money in 1993, and my parents and him had a confrontation. And my dad went into the room and asked Michael when he was going to provide the therapy and rehabilitation that he had promised to a jury just a few months prior. And this is his own testimony. It's public record. If you go back and read, Michael was suing Terry's practicing physician and gynecologist for millions of dollars for Terry's lifelong rehabilitation and therapy. After the money came in, close to, I believe it was a gross of $1.5 million, several months have gone by, and Terry was not receiving rehabilitation or therapy, and my dad confronted Michael and asked him when he was going to start providing therapy and rehabilitation. And that's when the fight broke out. And if you go back and if you read our book, there's a letter in our book that my dad wrote to Michael shortly after that argument, asking Michael again and pleading with him to please start offering the rehabilitation and therapy that you promised, or give Terry back to our family. And again, Michael really proves my father right, because from that point on, from 1993 on, there was not a penny spent on any therapy or rehabilitation for Terry in close to 14 years. And that can be proven by court records and medical documents, that Terry did not receive one penny from that trust fund towards her rehabilitation and therapy. And interestingly enough, Michael has never refuted this claim that our family has made as far as the rehabilitation and therapy being denied Terry for over 14 years or 14 years.
Folks, you can find out more about the Terry Schindler Schiavo Foundation under the What's New section of our website, issuesetc.org. We're talking with Bobby Schindler, the brother of Terry Schindler Schiavo, co-author of the new book, A Life That Matters, The Legacy of Terry Schiavo, A Lesson for Us All, tonight on Issues Etc. We're giving away this book to the best callers or emailers, 1-800-730-2727. Call during this break, 1-800-730-2727. And our in-studio email address is issuesetc@kfuo.org, issuesetc@kfuo.org. When we come back from this break, another claim that Michael Schiavo has been making of late since he wrote his book on Terry's life, he calls it simply Terry Schiavo, The Truth, is that the Schindler family came under the influence of very powerful and persuasive pro-life advocates and the pro-life movement. And he lays a lot of the blame, what he considers the blame, for the debate over Terry's last days with those, he says, who influenced Terry's family. When we come back, we'll hear Michael Schiavo's claim, and we'll hear the response from our guest, Bobby Schindler. 1-800-730-2727 is our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727. And our in-studio email address, as we talk with Bobby Schindler about the legacy of Terry Schindler Schiavo, issuesetc@kfuo.org.
Dr. Gene Edward Veith, culture editor for World Magazine, on the value of LCMS World Relief.
Well, you know, whenever I see news of a disaster or a terrorist attack or a natural calamity, I hear that just immediately they're on the front lines of this. And as a Lutheran, I feel so proud about that, not in a boastful way, but I feel happy that Lutherans care about the suffering of others, as our theology teaches us to, that we're to live out our faith in love and service to our neighbors.
LCMS World Relief provides Christ-centered, cross-focused care and concern. For more information, contact them at 314-996-1683 or look for the LCMS World Relief logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Todd Wilkin here again. I'm talking with Deaconess Pam Nielsen, senior editor at Concordia Publishing House. Concordia Publishing House has a new Sunday school curriculum called Growing in Christ. Pam, first off, what's missing from so many Sunday school curricula?
I think a lot of substance is missing, and quite often Christ is missing in the way that he needs to be taught as Savior from sin, death, and the devil. There might be a mention of Christ. Maybe Christ is a great example. Christ is a good teacher, a moral teacher. But specifically, every week, we're missing often Christ as our Savior from sin and death.
Okay, so that's the sad general state of Sunday school curricula today. So what makes growing in Christ different? How is growing in Christ unique?
I think growing in Christ, we've been very intentional in one, teaching the scriptures. We are concerned about Bible literacy. Pastors tell us they get kids in confirmation that they don't know any of the Bible stories. They don't know any of the Bible people. So we're trying to teach the Bible stories, the who, what, where, and when. But we're teaching them in the context of Christ. And every story, every week, be it Old or New Testament, connects to Christ as the Savior. And every story, every week also connects the child to their life in the family of God. We have liturgy links or worship links. We're intentionally teaching the language of the faith and our faith vocabulary. And where does that come from? From the scriptures, for us as Lutherans, the catechism, and from our hymnal. Those are the ways we express what we believe about God and Christ. And so we want to teach that expression of the faith to our children and raise them up again in this family of God. That's all part of growing in Christ very intentionally, so that a child every week when they leave, they're certain that though they are a sinner, there is a Savior, Christ Jesus, who has come and done away with sin and death for them.
Are you looking for a truly Christ-centered, cross-focused Sunday school curriculum for your church or Sunday school? Call Concordia Publishing House any weekday during regular business hours and ask about growing in Christ. 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Or you can find the Growing in Christ logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. Click the logo for more information about this truly Christ-centered, cross-focused Sunday school curriculum, Growing in Christ, from Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040 or issuesetc.org. Folks, the faculty of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, is coming to a city near you this summer. You can meet some of your favorite guests here on Issues Etc., Dr. Larry Rass, Dr. Arthur Jess, Dr. Carl Fekencher, and others this summer. For more information on the continuing education programs for laypeople and for pastors, check out the Concordia Theological Seminary logo right there at our homepage, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, area code 260-452-2241, 260-452-2241. Bobby Schindler is our guest tonight. We're talking about the legacy of his sister Terry Schindler Schiavo, and he is co-author of the new book, A Life That Matters, The Legacy of Terry Schiavo, A Lesson for Us All. Bobby, here's another piece from Michael Schiavo. This is him talking about the influence that some pro-life groups, he thinks, exercise over your family.
I believe that they have been fed so much information through the Randall Terrys of the world, through the coalitions, the Right to Life coalitions. They were just inundated with his stuff and fed them power and gave them power to do what they were doing. Like I said, with her father, I don't want to get into any backstabbing or anything like that, but, you know, a little greed with him. I believe that her mother, like I said, really knew that this was Terry's wish. I mean, if you can watch Terry's mother throughout that whole proceeding, especially at the end where she made her speeches, you can tell that she was told what to say.
Bobby, there's no doubt that your family has strong ties since this incident with Terry, with pro-life groups. You mentioned before Father Frank Provone of Priests for Life. What is the real relationship here? Is it as Michael portrays it?
Well, some of the things Michael was saying, I just really, quite frankly, didn't understand what he was trying to say. But of course there was pro-life organizations. They were very disturbed and troubled with what was happening in my sister's situation. But what Michael never talks about was the disability community. There was 25 local and national disability organizations that were speaking out on behalf of my sister. In fact, there was more disability organizations that were speaking out in defense of my sister than there was pro-life organizations. And it was, again, rarely if ever reported by the media, and it was rarely ever spoken about by Michael as attorney, because they did not want to recognize Terry as a disabled person. They were doing everything in their power to dehumanize her, call her a vegetable, refer to her as a vegetable, and they simply were not going to look at her as someone who was being disabled. But there was, as I said, over 24 disability communities that were speaking out, trying to defend Terry's life.
The second issue that Michael Schiavo raises in that cut is his claim that your mother really did agree with him on how he handled Terry's life and finally her death.
Yeah, well, again, it's absolutely ludicrous. You know, there is a North, it's called North County Gazette, and if you do a Google search on North County Gazette, you can read there's a woman who writes for this internet newspaper that is really exposing a lot of the dishonesty, the half-truths and lies that Michael is stating in his book. And she's doing it with his own testimony that he has said in the court records with what he's saying in his book. And it's really egregious if you go and look at what he's saying now and what he said prior. And it's just, you know, we just don't, whatever Michael says, it's whatever he seems to be thinking at the time. So, again, I just think it's a distraction. Michael's trying to distract, I think, from what happened here, and that's that he did everything in his power to make sure my sister was killed by dehydration and starvation. And it really doesn't matter the type of people our family was. And our family's position is look, our fight with Michael is over, and we're now doing everything we can to try to protect people with disabilities and stop this from happening in the future.
One of the things that Michael Schiavo says quite often when he's talking about this is, look, people are having their feeding tubes and their hydration removed every day, and why aren't the press hounding them? He says this in kind of a woe is me way, but he does point out something that's absolutely true. What happened to your sister is happening quietly, many places, every day.
I know, and I don't understand. Where is the public outrage? He says it so nonchalantly and so matter-of-factly that this thing is happening every single day, and yet we're standing back as a nation and allowing it to happen. And that's what's so frightening. And we're doing it to people that are simply suffering from disabilities that we don't, I believe, I think the underlying issue here is that we don't want to incur the expense or have our health care, have the health care pay for people that are in conditions similar to my sister, because we look at them as being a drain on our healthcare system, and are simply doing what we can to make it easier to terminate these people's lives. And it is. It's happening every single day. So nonchalantly admitted by Michael Schiavo.
Ideally, Bobby, what should have happened after Terry's collapse, after the lawsuit, after the money was awarded for the guardianship of Terry? What should have happened for her?
Well, and it goes back. You asked me earlier what disturbed me most about my sister's situation, and I had mentioned the autopsy report, but I have to say equally so was how my sister was warehoused and neglected since somewhere around 1991, 1992, when all the rehabilitation and therapy stopped. But what should have happened to my sister was there was a family that was willing and wanting to care for her, and it should have been as simple as that. The family should have been able to care for a family member if they're willing and wanting to do so. And I guess that's the one question that we get asked over and over and over again. How can any court, with so many conflicts of interest, with so many questions surrounding this case, how can any court decide that it would be much better if this person was starved and dehydrated to death, particularly when there's a family sitting by willing and wanting to care for this person? It just doesn't make any sense.
You know, the temptation is to look at a justice like a Judge Greer and to say Judge Greer was in the pocket of the Death with Dignity movement or something like that, and so he was ruling routinely against the family and for Michael Schiavo, and to simply say that's an isolated incident. That couldn't happen if I found myself in a similar situation. What would you say to that, Bobby?
Well, I think you'd be naive if you think that way. As I said, when I refer to a euthanasia movement that's occurring in our country, I believe what that means is we have a very strong pro-death movement in our country that consists of doctors that believe in this type of thinking, this quality of life thinking. I believe we have judges that believe in this quality of life thinking, and I believe we have attorneys that believe in this thinking. And when you have those type of people that are in this position to create laws and rule on these laws and make decisions as far as someone's health and well-being, you have a situation that's happening in our country today, and that is we are terminating the lives of the disability and the brain injured based on a quality of life attitude.
We talked with your parents some weeks back on the program, on our weekday program, and I asked both of your parents, your mom and your dad, what they made of the action that was taken by the politicians like Governor Bush of Florida during this whole ordeal with Terry. And I think it was your dad who said he thought Governor Bush could have done more. Do you agree with that?
Well, we are told from really both sides. I've spoken to many attorneys who have said that the governor could have done more. I've spoken to attorneys that said that he did not have the power to do anything else. And I don't know how to answer that. All I know is Governor Bush knows that answer if he was able to do more or if he wasn't able to do more. I'm very grateful to the governor for what he did. I don't know how many governors in the country would have done as much as Governor Bush did. Whether he could have done more, really, that's only the governor knows that. All I can say is that if he did know that he could have done more, I certainly would hope that he would have.
What would you say to someone listening tonight, Bobby, who says, look, I went to the website for Terry's cause, and I saw the video, and it was compelling to see that this woman was still aware of her circumstances at some level, even while we were reading in the papers every day that she was brain dead, that she was a vegetable, that she was not conscious. It's hard to look at those videos and say otherwise. What would you say to people who did not have an opportunity to see those things, who read those headlines and said, look, brain dead is brain dead, vegetable is vegetable, and that's as good as dead, so what's the big debate?
Well, if anybody would see the videos or heard our family's accounts of our visits with Terry, they'd understand how alive Terry was. And she was being portrayed by Michael and his attorney. They did everything they can to dehumanize her, to take away her personhood, because they want to rationalize what we're doing in this country, the people that are suffering from these disabilities. But it's completely wrong. And even if my sister wasn't able to improve, if she did have a severe brain injury where she wasn't able to improve any better than she was, it shouldn't matter. And every reason that Michael was given, every reason that the attorneys were given on why we should supposedly allow Perry to die, which incidentally she wasn't dying, but all these reasons they gave to justify her death, is every reason we should be using to care for these people. And as human beings, I believe we're called to care for these people with love and compassion, and not do everything in our power to make it easier, to make the criteria easier, to see that their lives are terminated.
We're taking your questions and comments tonight. This Sunday, it's June the 4th, on the legacy of Terry Schindler Schiavo. I want to hear from you. Our in-studio email address is issuesetc@kfuo.org. Our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727. 1-800-730-2727. What would you like to say to the brother of Terry Schindler Schiavo? This is your opportunity tonight on Issues Etc. 1-800-730-2727. And our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Bobby just made a great point. Terry was not dying. We'll talk about that when we come back. We are fallen, sinful human beings. That means our capacity to reason is fallen and sinful as well. But what is the proper role of human reason in the ethical decisions we make? What's the relationship between God's clear word and the sometimes not so clear conclusions we draw from our fallen reason? Our Issues Etc. book of the month for June is called Reasonable Ethics: A Christian Approach to Social, Economic, and Political Concerns. For more information about this book, go to our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find Reasonable Ethics right there at our homepage, issuesetc.org. Or you can call Concordia Publishing House any weekday during regular business hours and ask for Reasonable Ethics, 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. It's the Issues Etc. book of the month for June.
Contending for Truth in an Age of Anti-Truth. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Do Paul and James disagree on justification by faith? What did James mean when he wrote, "Faith without works is dead"? And if a person lacks works, what's James' solution? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. I've written an article for the Next Issues, Etc. journal on the subject of James and faith. We'll send you a free complimentary copy. Just call our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. Issues, Etc. regular guest Uwe Simonetto has also written an article on the subject of racial segregation in the church, 1-800-737-0172. And the Wittenberg Trail feature details Pastor Robert Schreckheiss's journey from the subjective experience of Pentecostalism to the objective truth of the Reformation, 1-800-737-0172. Now, if you enjoy Issues, Etc., the radio show, you need to get the Issues, Etc. journal, 1-800-737-0172. Next week on Issues, Etc., we're going to discuss a dying man's consolation. Dr. John Seleska of the Concordia Bible Institute will be our guest. Why do we die? Is God the author of death? How can a loving God allow death? Should Christians fear death? And where can we turn to find hope in the hour of our death? We'll talk about it next week with Dr. John Seleska. Now, if you'd like to know what we'll be discussing for the rest of June, visit our website, issuesetc.org. And while you're there at the homepage, check out our Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for June, Reasonable Ethics, A Christian Approach to Social, Economic, and Political Concerns by Dr. Robert Benet. The book really examines the nexus between the Christian's life lived in faith toward Christ and in love for the neighbor in the public square. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, or you can browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org. The book is called Reasonable Ethics, Our Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for June. Bobby Schindler is our guest. He's the brother of Terry Schindler Schiavo, co-author of the new book, A Life That Matters, The Legacy of Terry Schiavo, A Lesson for Us All. Listeners with the best questions or comments tonight at 1-800-730-2727 will get a copy of this book, 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Bobby, you mentioned something in passing just a moment ago that I find intriguing, and that is Terry wasn't dying. Very often, during the whole ordeal, Terry was described as a dying woman. How could you allow a woman to persist, a dying woman to persist in this kind of a situation, or a dying woman? And I think that's pivotal here, that Terry wasn't dying.
Well, no, she wasn't dying. She wasn't terminal. She wasn't succumbing to any type of disease. She was simply disabled, and she was being kept alive by food and water. What is the only thing that keeps all of us alive? And again, it was. This was constantly being reported on in the media as an end-of-life type of situation, and it was really, it wasn't. Terry was not dying. I think the images of Terry, the people that saw Terry, and people that, I'm sorry?
No, we're still here.
I'm sorry. And people that are disabled, it makes us very uncomfortable. And we see pictures of Terry, and we look at her, and I believe it makes us very uncomfortable. But you know, as a nation, as a society, as human beings, you know, what other choice do we have when we have persons that suffer severe disabilities like this? Are we going to care and love them, or are we going to simply look at them as being an inconvenience and make it easier to terminate their lives? They're tough choices we have to make, and this is a tough choice. And it's a tough situation with my sister, but what other choice do we have other than to care and love these people, I believe, as Christ intended us to do.
Now, tell me if I'm wrong here, Bobby, but it strikes me one of the saddest things about Terry's case was that early on in her disability, there with the proper care, she really was in many ways physically and physiologically in an entirely different state. It was only when the care and that therapy was withdrawn that she started this long, deteriorating years, 14 years there, of deterioration.
Well, that's absolutely right. I mean, if you put anybody, even a healthy person, if you put them in a bed and warehouse them for as long as Terry was warehoused, naturally they're going to deteriorate. And that's what happened to my sister. And it's just a tragedy that she was denied all this rehabilitation and therapy. And there's no explanation why. Michael kept saying over and over again that there was nothing that was going to help my sister. And that's easy to say. But the fact of the matter is there were remedies, there were therapies, there were rehabilitations that could have possibly helped Terry, but they were denied each and every time. And that's what's so sad and tragic. My sister did not have to be treated the way she was treated for as long as she was treated. And that's when the first question you opened the show with, when you said that Michael loved Terry. And I said, well, you know, the way Michael treated her these past over this past decade would indicate otherwise.
When we talked with your parents some weeks back, we ended our program with them talking with a little word association, and I'd like to do the same thing with you if I could. I'm going to name some names and just ask for your initial reaction, especially in the light of Terry's legacy. What about George Filos, Michael's attorney? Your first thoughts?
He's frightening to me. He is a very staunch very pro-death type of mentality, and I believe he discriminates against those with disabilities.
Judge George Greer, your thoughts there, Bobby?
You know, there's a part of me that feels sad for Judge Greer. I don't understand why he was ruling the way he was ruling. To this day, it just it doesn't make sense to me. With a family that was willing to care for a loved one, and yet with so many questions surrounding the situation, he continued to do everything in his power to kill my sister. I know that's not just a one word answer, but I guess to answer that is just he doesn't make any sense to me.
I know that there are many thoughts with this name, and we've talked a lot about them in the course of the last hour, but your initial thoughts when you hear the name Michael Schiavo?
There's a part of me that feels very, very sad for Michael. I really believe, and I'm not one to be a judge. That's obviously not going to come from me, but I just feel as Michael is a lost soul, and I don't understand why he has so much anger and venom. He seems to be consumed with it, and he seems to be taking it out against my family, and I just don't understand why.
Your mother, Mary Schindler?
Someone that I can never describe on how much admiration and love I have for this woman to see what she went through. From my sister Terry, many people have told us that my mom reminds them of Mary and what she went through with Christ. Not comparing my mom to the Virgin Mary, but just in some of the parallels that she went through in trying to protect her daughter.
And your dad, Bob Schindler.
If it wasn't for my father, I don't know that I would have made it through this ordeal in one piece.
And then finally, your sister, Terry Schindler Schiavo.
How can I describe Terry? She was described as someone who had no quality of life and who was worthless. Yes, yet she has, without basically lifting her finger, she has touched the hearts of people all over this world.
1-800-737-0172 is the phone number for our resource line. You can use that number to request a free complimentary copy of our Next Issues, Etc. journal, or you can also use that number to help us defend life from beginning to end by making a tax-deductible gift to help support the worldwide outreach of Issues, Etc. We do especially need to hear from our listeners on KFAX in the San Francisco Bay Area, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172, or write us at Issues Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. The address again, Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. 1-800-273-1117. The bigger issue here, and I think this really plays into every time a story like this comes before us. Bobby's absolutely right. You see the pictures or the video or you hear the description of someone who is severely disabled. And there's no doubt about it. Terry was severely disabled. It makes us uncomfortable. And the sooner that we admit to that discomfort and that would we want to live this way, part of us says, no, who would? That's not the issue. The issue is not our level of discomfort. The issue is not whether I would want to live this way. No, I want to be able to walk around on my own 2 feet under my own steam for the rest of my days. Everybody does. The truth is, and the only real issue is that there are Terrys all over the place among us who do live this way. They live this way. They are the helpless. In some cases, when they're warehoused like Terry was, hopeless. They are people who need us. They are in need. They are, as Christ would say, they are our neighbors. What did Christ do for us in our helpless and our hopeless state, when spiritually we were not living but dead? He gave his life for us at the cross to forgive us our sins and give us eternal life. And Christ's love, that concern for the helpless and the hopeless, continues through us to those who are in need of our help, who live that way. He would say to us, he does, that they ought to be protected in life. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc.
Listen each week to Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can donate by credit card on our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. For a free audio copy of this hour of Issues Etc., please visit the audio archive section at kfuo.org. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of Worldwide KFUO. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.
Dr. Dean Wenthe, president of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, on why a man should consider studying for the pastoral ministry.
It's the most beautiful and wonderful calling to expound the goodness and the grace of God in Christ and to spread the good news of Christ's victory over death. You're carrying eternal good news and the life of Christ through his word, his sacraments. And we welcome any who want to consider the ministry to visit our faculty in action, our worship, because you'll see there the word of a loving and present God who has bestowed all things in Christ.
For more information about Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, call them toll-free 1-800-481-2155 or visit our website, issuesetc.org.